You have your Bible tonight, turn with 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. For sake of time tonight, we'll begin reading probably about verse 13. 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 13. The Bible says, "And behold, there came a prophet to Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, Who shall order the battle? And he answered, Thou. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. And after them he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. And they went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings and the 32 kings that helped him. And the young men of the princes of the province went out first. And Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, There are men come out of Samaria. And he said, Whether they be come out for peace, take them alive, or whether they be come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city and the army which followed them. And they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and the chariots and slew the Assyrians with a great slaughter. And a prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servant of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills, therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number thee an army like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days, and so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. But the rest fled to Aphek and into the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city into an inner chamber. And his servants said unto him, Behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and ropes on our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure, he will save thy life. So they girded sackcloth on their loins and put ropes on their heads and came to the king of Israel and said, Thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, I pray thee, let me live. And he said, Is he yet alive? He is my brother. Now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him, and did hastily catch it. And they said, Thy brother Ben-Hadad. Then he said, Go ye and bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came forward to him, and he caused him to be put up into the chariot. And Ben-Hadad said unto him, The cities which my father took from thy father I will restore, and thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria. Then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So he made a covenant with him and sent him away. I want to preach on this thought for just a few minutes tonight, if God will be my help. On the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. Amen. The God of the mountain is still God in the valley. As we look at this, and let me just give you a little brief overview of this so that you can know what's taking place. The king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, he's come up and he's sieged Samaria. He's besieged it. He's camped out around the city of Samaria, and he's wanting to do battle. He's wanting to take that city. And he says to Ahab, that king of Israel, he said, "Hey, listen," he said, "I just want you to know I'm in charge now." Just said, "I want you to know." Now this king Ben-Hadad, he's none other than a type of the devil. Amen. Just exact. Hey, the Assyrians, they were the wickedest people that ever lived. Amen. Wicked and vile, the Assyrians, and then the Assyrians come along after them or with them, and they were just as vile and wicked and more. Amen. They would kill people, literally skin them alive. Just wickedness. But we see this fellow, he comes in, he says, "I'm in charge now." See, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to come in and he wants to take charge of our lives. He wants to come in and says, "You know what? I want to take charge." And he tells old Ahab here, he said, "I'm going to come in." And he said, "The silver you have is mine. The gold you have is mine. Your wives are mine. Your children are mine." But now watch it. What happens? He said, "The goodliest things are mine." And old Ahab goes along with him. If we ain't careful, we'll go along with the devil. You know, the old saying, what people say now, you gotta go along to get along. I want to say, you better not give an inch to the devil, because he'll take them all. And so he said, "Okay, the king of Israel," verse 4, "My Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have." He said, "I'm okay with that. You come in." He said, "I'll give you the gold. I'll give you the silver. I'll give you my wives. I'll give you my children." He said, "I'm yours. I'm just a servant." Amen. To the devil. So the devil goes just a little further. He said, "Well, that's all well and good, but said, I'm going to also send some fellas in, and they're going to come right in where you're at, and they're going to look around. If they see anything they're like, they're going to take that too." But see, Ahab's like most of us. He was okay with them taking other things. But when it come to his personal space, he didn't want to involve, he didn't want the devil in his personal space. He didn't want somebody to invade his personal space. And you know, a lot of times it don't matter what God's doing to our house, our home, or our families, but when it comes to our personal space, boy, it ought to hit home. Amen? It ought to hit home. Hey, but it ought to hit home when they're messing with our people. It ought to hit home when the devil's trying to take our stuff. But a lot of times it don't hit home till he gets into our personal space. Amen. A lot of times it don't hit home, Brother Rex, until the old devil comes along and he afflicts me or you. Huh? A lot of times it don't affect us much till then. But then Ahab says, "No, wait a minute now." He said, "That stuff, I'll give you all this stuff." I said, "Hey, you ain't coming into my personal space." And he got the elders together and they said, "Yeah, we're with you. That ain't going to happen." He says, Ben-Hadad, he said, "Okay," that's too much. That's too much to ask for. Send a man to Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad says, "All right," "if that's the way you're going to play it, buddy." He said, "You might as well figure." He said, "I'm just going to chew you." Basically, so what he said, "I'm going to just go chew you up and spit you out." He said, "Ain't you looked around? You're surrounded. You ain't got nowhere to go." But Ahab, praise God, he says, "Now wait a minute." He said, "Don't go counting your chickens before they hatch." He said, taking your battle gear off and celebrating yet. He said, "Cause this thing ain't over." Amen. So we see what takes place here, and he lines up here, and the Bible said that this king, Ben-Hadad, in verse 12, said he lines up with the kings in his pavilion with his servants, and he said, "Set yourselves in array," and he's a drinking and having him a time. You know what the devils are doing? Just like he's doing today, he's already celebrating victory. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, the devil, I guarantee you, he's a lifing all the way to hell. Because he's realized that he's taking folks and he's deceiving them, he's tearing them up, destroying them, he's getting his way, and he's already celebrating. Amen. At our expense. Glory to God. We need God. Amen. We need the Lord. We need somebody on our side. We need a help. But the Bible said there's a man of God steps up. Says, "Oh, hey, Ahab." He said, "It's going to be all right." He said, "Hast thou seen all this great multitude?" He said, have you seen who all's out there? Now, Ahab couldn't miss it. He wasn't blind. He could see. Now, can you see this in your mind? He looks out there around Samaria, and there's just people everywhere that you look. All around, the Syrians have gathered in. A massive, massive army. And he said, "Hast thou seen all this great multitude?" He said, "Behold, I will deliver it into thy hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord." Amen. So, Ahab, the Lord speaks to him through this prophet. He said, "This great multitude, you see, he said, I'm going to deliver it in your hand today." Not like this, Ahab. He says, "Really? Sure you are." And Ahab said, "By whom?" He said, who are you going to use to deliver us from this great multitude? And he says, "I'm going to use the princes of the province. These young men, these young rulers of the different areas of Samaria that we've come to, kind of like the governors we have today." He said, "I've gathered them in. I had a little trained militia." He said, "I'm going to use those governors to deliver you. I'm going to use those princes of Samaria." And Ahab, he says, "Okay, the princes of the province." He said, "Who shall order the battle?" He said, "Who's going to be in charge of this?" And I can see this prophet. He said, "Well, Ahab, you are. You're going to be in charge." Amen. Ahab said, "Wait a minute. I'm going to be in charge." He said, "That's right. You're going to be in charge." Amen. Could you see his mind, his expression? When he said, "I'm going to take these providences, these young men of the province, princes of the province, and I'm going to use them, praise God, to destroy this Syrian army. Surrounded all around Samaria." The Bible said, then he numbered the young men of the princes of the province. I guess he figured, "Well, I better get a count here and see what we got to work with." Amen. Said, when you're going up against the devil, we better look see what we got to work with. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go at it alone. We need as many with us, praise God, as we can get when we go to fight the devil. Amen. And I tell you, the one that we need the most is good God of glory. So the Bible says he counted the princes of the province, and he counted up there, it's 232 of them. Amen. When he got the final count, there's 232 of them. That had the princes of the province. He said, even all the people of Israel being 7,000. So he gets these princes of the province. There's 232 of them, and they 7,000 fighting men. That's what he has to work with. And he looks out around there, and there's the Syrians all around Samaria. Just everywhere you look, thousands upon thousands. Amen. See, the day that I thought about this, I thought, you know, the day that we live in, if we ain't careful, we get to look around and we see the enemy all around us. We see the devil invading us. We see the devil taking more and more and more space. Our space. Amen? Hey, we didn't worry about it till he got into, like Ahab, we got into our space. But now he's invading our space. He's invading where I live, Brother Rex. It's starting to aggravate me. Start to begin to get wary about it. Begin to wonder how this thing's going to play out. Amen? So the Bible says that he gets this thing, it lines it out, and he said that they went out at noon. It's high noon. Amen? Kind of like a Clint Eastwood movie. Amen? High noon. Time for the fight. When that tower clock hit 12 o'clock, it was on. That's when you draw. Amen? So it's high noon, And Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions. Now the old devil, he's over there celebrating already. He's got all them kids and they're celebrating a victory. And then all of a sudden about high noon, now this is an odd time to be setting up a battle in array. You didn't start a battle in the middle of the day. Amen. But here all of a sudden, here come them princes marching out of Samaria. 232 of them princes of Samaria, praise God, they come marching down the road, praise God, with their spears, their swords, and their armor, praise God, they come marching down the road. Amen. And old Ben-Hadad, he sends them out there, and he said, "Go out there and see what's going on." So they go back there, and he said, hey, brother, they come peacefully. He said, "Hey, come for war." He said, "We want to take them alive." See, this is the confidence that the devil's got. See, he don't want to so much to destroy you. He wants charge and control of your life. Because the devil wants to make you just as miserable as he can while you're here. The devil don't want you to have peace or joy or happiness. Amen. He don't want to have any solitude in your life. Thank God, he don't want you to have none of that. He wants you to be miserable just like he is. And so the devil, Obed-Edom, he said, hey, listen, what? Listen, he said, why don't you, he said, just go out there and get them. And he said, whether they're coming peaceful or whether they're coming to fight, he said, take them alive. So they go out there to get those princes of the providence. But those princes of the providence, praise God, they didn't come to be taken alive. They come to stay alive. Amen. They come to fight. And then about that time, those 7,000 come up behind them. Amen. Can you see this? All of a sudden, they's just 230, maybe little old scrawny fellas. Amen. Not well trained, but all of a sudden, they got 7,000 people behind them. Glory be to God. Set in array. Praise God. Getting ready to attack. A surprise attack in the middle of the day. Not expecting it. He said, I want you to take them alive. Amen. And the Bible says that they, and so these young princes, verse 18 of the princes of men of the princes of providence came out of the city and the army which followed them. And they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on his horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and the chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. Amen. He said, lady, you know what? Look what God can do. Amen. Hey, listen, the devil's an adversary. We can't, but Michael said, when he's contending with the devil, he said, hey, listen, he said, I ain't no match for the devil. He said, God rebuke you. Amen. I'm going to say we're no match for the devil, but praise God, we've got a great Lord and God of glory. Praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our mediator of one, who's able to fight the devil. Amen. He's able to overcome him. So God gave Ahab the battle. Amen. He won. We have scrimmages with the devil all the time. Amen. Sometimes it seems like he overwhelms us. But praise God, if we stand, Lord, the Lord will win. We'll come out victorious, praise God, shouting the glory. Amen. As long as we stay with God. But now notice what takes place. There's a prophet come along. Another prophet, another man of God. He came unto the king of Israel and said unto him, go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. Amen. He said, hey, listen. He said, King Ahab said, you need to check up and see where you're at. You need to... He said, God just give you a great big victory. He said, you need to do a little bit of self-evaluation. He said, who give you the victory? Amen. Said, hopefully you ain't taking credit for what God has done. Amen. Because God gave you a mighty and a tremendous victory. I believe a lot of times we ain't careful. We go taking credit for the victories that God has given us. But I will say, praise God, God gives us victory after victory after victory. And praise God, all we need to do is just give Him glory after glory after glory. Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord, because He will bring us through. Shouting His praises. He said, you need to do a little bit of self-evaluation here. He said, for at the return of the year, the time when kings would go out to battle, He said, the king of Syria will come up against thee. Amen. He said, just about the thing. Now, ain't that about typical? Just about the time you think you got the devil whipped and got him off your back, he shows up again. Amen. He'll show up somewhere. He'll show up in your home. He'll show up in one of your children. He'll show up in one of your co-workers, and he'll stir things up. He'll get it all started again. That's just the way he does. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the king's servants... The king of Syria, they told him, they said, well, you know what? We've got this thing figured out. He said, the king of Israel, their God is a god of the mountain. We figured out, he's a god up there on the mountain. But praise God, king said, listen, said, if you get them down here in the valley, praise God, they'll give up and quit. Amen? That's what he said. He said, if we could just get them up, if we could just get them off the mountain, get them down in the valley a little bit, they'll give up and they'll quit and we'll just roll right over them. Amen. And so they set up a plan. He said, we get them in the plain, so we'll be stronger than they are. And we'll steamroll right across them. He said, what we need to do is do this thing. He said, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms. So what they say in here said, what we need to do is we don't need all this. What we need to do is change authority. Said we can lower our authority, amen. We can lower those that's going to lead the attack and said it'll be all right because when we get them off the mountain and we get them in the valley, praise God, we can roll over them and we won't need nowhere. Hey, we don't need all these kings to go out and all their pomp and all their pros. Praise God, all we need is just get some captains out there, praise God, and put this thing up and get it done. Amen. So they say we don't need to regard the omnipresence of God. So see, they don't realize that our God is omnipresent. They don't realize the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. They don't realize that the God that's on high, praise God, is the God that's down low. Amen. Hey, they don't realize when you're stepping this high, praise God, or where you're crawling on your belly, He's still God. Amen. Still God, still blessing, still helping, still giving that encouragement. Amen. So what they do, they compromise to a lower authority. Ain't that what the heathen do? What happens with heathen? They get to a place where they compromise with a lower authority. They say, "Well, we don't need God. Amen. We know what we're doing. We've got all that we need." So they compromise to a lower authority. They go with a lower authority to get the job done. Amen. And then they come in with they say, "And number thee an army." Like the army thou hast lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain. And surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. Now watch this. He said, so what we got? So he said, so what we're going to do? He said, we're going to come at them with the same insufficient source, the same insufficient power, and expect a different result. See, we can't come with the same insufficient power and expect a different result. You're going to get the same result. Amen. They didn't have the power on their side. They needed that power in order to get a different result. Amen. So they came with the same source. They came with the same power, same number, praise God, and expected a different outcome. Amen. Hey, a lot of times we ain't careful, we do the same thing. We'll come with that same insufficiency, the same insufficient power, the same insufficient source, and expect a different outcome. And we get caught up and we keep getting the same unsatisfactory outcome. Amen? But they had high expectations. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 26, they came to pass at the return of the year, time of the battles, that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. Now, Aphek, if you look it up, it's just a little bit north and east or northwest of Galilee, and it's at the mouth of that Jezreel Valley, that great plain, amen, that stretches out. It's called the breadbasket of the world. Stretches out for 220 square miles, amen, as far as you can see. Praise the Lord. A magnificent, and they have, you can look out across there from the mount there where Elijah done battle with the prophets, and you can look out there and you can see all these different fertile plains, and they got them laid out in sections like a checkerboard with green things are growing in different places all across that valley. And it's in this valley, the mouth of this valley, they come and they said, hey, praise God, we'll get them off the mountain, we'll get them down in the valley, and we'll wipe them out. Amen. Praise the Lord. So they come down there, and the Bible says that they, verse 27, and the children of Israel were numbered, amen, and were all present. I like that. He said the children of Israel were numbered. So Ahab, he got the group together. He said, all right, fellas, so let's get them all together. We're going to do this thing again. Amen. Amen. He said, we're going to do it again. Praise God, we made it. Hey, listen, God gave us victory before, and He'll give us victory again. Amen. I can see him. He said, hey, all you folks, tell them to come on, tell them to gather up. Praise God, we're going out to battle again. Praise God, we're looking for victory again in the Lord God of glory. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible said that they were all present. So what he's talking about here, he said that they were united together. Amen. I want to say when you got a few folks that's united together. Amen. When they come out like they did in Acts, and they have one mind and one accord. They done fixed their eyes upon the prize, praise God. And they realized that, hey, amen, the prize was the only thing that mattered. There was no going back. There was no looking back. There's no turning to the side. Just pressing on for God. And he numbered the people and he found out that everyone, praise God, that was in the battle before, they're still in the battle now.
Amen.
Pray, glory be to God. I like it. Praise the Lord. When you look out on the church, praise God, the ones that's in the battle are still in the battle.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't found nowhere to quit. Praise God. Because God's given a good result.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Bless his holy name. Amen. The children of Israel pitched it before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Assyrians filled the country. Can you picture this? So the people of Israel, praise God, King Ahab, he said they pitched out there in front of them Assyrians and said it looked like two little flocks of goats. Amen? Compared to the mighty host of the Syrians. They just two, like a little dab of people over here and a little dab of people over here. Amen? Glory be to God. It looked like they was all, they wouldn't be nothing to this. Amen. Looked like they was going to be, he said, you know what they thought? Boy, praise God, we're just going to run over them like a steamroller. We'll be out of here done before you know it. Amen. And I can just see my mind's eye. He said, but the Assyrians filled the country. I remember another story, 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elisha was over there and his servant got up in the morning. He looked out there. And he said, here it was again. He said, the hills was full of the Syrians. So during the night, praise God, they'd figured out where Elisha was. And they moved in and they surrounded Dothan. That little sleepy village down there in the valley. And all around the hills of Dothan, around Dothan was the mighty host of the Syrian army. You know, Elisha's servant goes in there and he says, men of God. He said, hey, do you know what took place during the night? He said, the devil, the enemy's come, and they come in the night. Have they taken us by surprise? And the man of God told us, let's look up and said, Lord, show my servant what you've already showed me. Amen. Glory be to God. And his servant looked up and his eyes was open. And all around the hill between Elisha and his servant in the tops of those mountains, praise God, was a host of heaven, praise God, not only in chariots, but in fiery chariots of God. Amen. Ready to do battle, praise God, for the man of God. Amen. Oh, Elijah. Oh, Ahab looked across there and I could just see his mind eye. He said, oh, my goodness. He said, this ain't good. I know. I've been trying to build you up. I know God's been given a victory, but man, we don't look very big now. This thing might not be good, but you know what? The Bible says he's always been a man of God. Amen. Come along, give his little children a little bit of encouragement. And the Bible said there came a man of God, verse 28, and spake unto the king. Amen. Glory be to God. Fooey on the devil. Amen. Just about the time he gets you down, get down to the house of God, somebody will get up and say, hey, you know what? Hey, don't worry about the devil. He's a good God of glory who loved you and saved you. And if he saved you, praise God, he'll keep you. He'll lead God and direct you. He'll lift you up, praise God, when the devil's beating you down. And he'll encourage you, praise God.
Amen.
Glory to God. What a Savior. What a Lord we've got tonight. Hey, glory. We got one, praise God, that's already overcome the devil. He's got the keys of death and the grave. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless his holy name. What a Savior we got. Oh man of God. Come to old King of Israel, Ahab. See, he had to be reminded. Amen. Had to be reassured. I believe sometimes we just need to be reminded. Amen, Brother Andrew. Sometimes we just need to be reassured, praise God, that there's a great big God of glory who owns everything, praise God. And he's looking out over us, and he knows where we're at, and he knows where our needs, and he knows how to help us in a time of trouble. Amen. Praise the Lord. He ain't forgot you. Amen. He knows exactly where you are. I think sometimes he's just waiting on us to say, whoopee! Amen. Praise the Lord. So he can just turn you loose. Amen. Praise God. But this man of God, he goes to the king of Israel. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but He is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Amen. Praise God. He said, "Hey, listen, they say that I'm God of the mountain, but I'm not God in the valley. But praise God, because they say I'm God in the mountain and not God in the valley, I'll show you what kind of God I am." Amen. Praise the Lord. He is God when you're on the mountain. He is God when you're in the valley. It don't matter where you're at. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter how low you become. Praise God, He's still God. We need to just lift Him up and say, "Glory, glory, hallelujah." He is good, the good God of glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, if we ever get to doing this, if we ever get it down pat, the devil won't be able to stop us. Amen. The Syrian army thought they was just going to steamroll over Israel. Praise God, they didn't know God was going to steamroll over them. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was thinking about this today. I come up and met with Brother Ralph up here, and we was up here and started back down the road. They was patching the holes in the road, and they put that asphalt in there, and they had that fellow was riding around with that steamroller, and he was rolling them things out. I thought, glory be to God, if we would just trust Him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength, God would do the same for us. He'd steamroll the devil, praise God, and just roll him under, and we could just march on across him, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. We just realize that God is that great steamroller of glory. Amen. Amen. Rolling on, praise God. Amen. Amen. He said, "You shall know that I am the Lord." The Bible says that He says now just picture, He said, they pitched 7 days. Could you just imagine 7 days, this little group of people was sitting there and they was looking out, these two little group of people looking out, and they was looking all around them, the Syrian army. And they were counting up the odds. Say, "Oh my goodness, it don't look good for the home team." See, the last time they had the ultimate of surprise. See, they had the surprise on their side. Amen. They thought, well, it was because of surprise that we won the last time. But I want to say, glory be God, Brother Rex, it wasn't surprise on their side that they won the last time. Praise God, it was a good God of glory, amen, who's never caught by surprise. Amen. He moved in, destroyed that army. I said they pitched over against each other 7 days, and so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined. And the children of Israel, and I watched this, slew of the Syrians and 100,000 footmen in 1 day. I got to doing the math of that. 100,000 compared to 7,232. That comes out the odds. Now listen to this. The odds was right at 14-1. Not counting the horses and the chariots and the horsemen. Just counting the footmen, 100,000 footmen, the odds were 14, almost 14-1. But God. Hey, when you think you're overcome, when you think you're overpowered, when you don't think you got any help, praise God, I will say it don't matter if they's 14-1 or 114-1. Praise God, you belong to God, and just stay in a good fight of faith, and He's going to deliver you. Amen. Amen. It don't matter the odds. Praise God. God's a guy. God's a God. God's an odd beater. Amen. He's always beating the odds. Amen, for His people. Praise God. So they said they beat them down. He said the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men. Now watch this. That were left. You tell me God ain't God. Amen. They said to Aphek, well, Aphek literally means a fortress. So they fled to those that was alive, those that was left, fled to a fortress, a man-made fortress. And God waited till they all got in there and got them hit up against the wall. Praise God. God just reached down and went, and pushed the wall up and tried, glory be to God. Every one of us killed by the hand of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm saying that we got a great big God, we ought to be rejoicing. There's nothing too big for God. There's nothing our God can't do. There's nothing our God can't change. Amen. Bless His holy name. Bible says that 20 and 7,000 men that were left, Benadad fled and came into an inner city in the inner chamber. So the only one left is the devil and his goons. Amen. That's what. See, the devil, he'll always gather up his goons and take him with them. So the devil and his goons, they gather up there and they gather in an inner place. They're hiding out. And the devil's goons, they say, wait a minute. You know, I heard something. The children of God are always a merciful people. See, I've heard it, that the children of God, they're merciful. They've got loads and loads of compassion. So what we need to do is we just need to go out here and we'll just take off our clothes. We'll put sackcloth on and we'll put a rope around our neck and we'll just go out and just show ourselves that we're subservient, that we give up. And said, he said, the children of God are always merciful people. I want to say children of God ought to always be merciful people. The children of God ought to always be compassionate people. We ought to love that unlost sinner that comes in that back door or this side door, praise God, with a godly love. Amen. We ought to love them to death, praise the Lord. Now they may not be comfortable during a good Holy Ghost singing. They may not be comfortable good in the Holy Ghost preaching, but they ought to be felt like that somebody loves them when they come in the house of them. Yeah. This is a hospital for the sin sick, and if we can't love each other and love old sinners, then we're out of the will of God. Amen. Is that not right? Amen. Hospital for the sin sick. So the Bible says they girded themselves up with sackcloth and ash and put ropes around her neck. And now these fellows of Benadad, they go out there to King Ahab, king of Israel. He said, thy servant Benadad saith, I pray thee, let me live. And he said, is he yet alive? He said, he is my brother. He said, we got something in common. He said, is he still alive? Amen. If we ain't very careful, praise God, we'll let the devil live, amen, when he needs to be killed, when he needs to be put away, when he needs to be done away with. Amen. But if we ain't careful, we'll let him live in our lives. We'll give him some little old something that he can hold on to, that he'll keep taking us back to, and taking us back to, and taking us back to where we can't have no victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't need to have no fellowship, no relationship with the devil. Amen. And he said they called on to it. They said, well, yeah, said he's going to show mercy. So they go in there and they get Benadab and they bring him out there. And it said he came forth to him and he caused him to come up in the chariot. It got him up there with him. And Benadab said unto him, the city's father took, said, I'll restore, and thou hast and thou shalt make streets for thee. And the man, he said, hey, listen, said in Damascus, I'm going to name a street after you, Ahab. So I've got plans. I'm going to be right in there with you. Yeah, that's a lie of the devil. So I'm going to be there to help you and encourage you. Hey, listen, he already had an opportunity to do that one time. He done beat him down once, and praise God he come back and he had to beat him down again. But he's going to, if we ain't careful, we do just like that. We give the old devil opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get into our lives. Praise God, when we need to just shut him out. No room for the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says here that old King Ahab took him in there, and he said, then saith Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So he made a covenant with him and sent him away. Amen. I won't say that we can't make a pact. You can't make a pact with the devil. Amen. You're messing up, you're backing up, and you start trying to make a pact with the devil. Amen. You're messing up. Amen. But he did it in full opposition, because when we make a pact with the devil, we do it in full opposition to God. Amen. We got to remember, anytime we side with the things of the world, the things of the devil, praise God, then we're in full opposition to God. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't want to be in full opposition to God. I don't want to make no pact with the devil. Because it'll come along bite you later on. Amen. He was told God to utterly destroy those wicked nations. To wipe them out, take them out. Because they were ungodly nations. Though King Ahab, he probably had an ulterior motive for this. See, Assyria was there, but Assyria was coming on strong. And Assyria was even worse and more wicked than Syria was. And he thought, well, you know, if I make a covenant with Syria, he said, they're down here below, and they're between me and Assyria, maybe I'll build me just a little bit of a buffer zone. Huh? I want to say, listen, young, you don't build a buffer zone with the devil.
Amen.
Amen. The devil, you can't use the devil for a buffer zone. Amen. Because the devil will overflood you, devil will overcome you, praise God. He may look like a good thing at the time, but praise God, there'll come a day when he'll overflood you, praise God. He'll destroy you, he'll tear you down, he'll deceive you, and he'll take your life. Amen. You say, he'll kill me? No, he'll take your life. Amen. The way you live, the way you act, the way you're in, he'll take charge of it. He'll become the authority of it. If you give him that little imp, you can't use him as a buffer prayer. We got to get rid of the devil. Amen. Oh, Ahab. He said, you know what? He said, God, the Lord said, I'm going to give you victory so that you can see me as God. Amen. See, Ahab was a mighty man, but praise God, he wasn't very spiritual. See, he married old Jezebel. Amen. He married old Jezebel. And she was the wickedest thing there ever was this side of glory. Amen. Oh, wicked, wicked woman. And he brought her into his house. That was another deal where he said it was an arrangement with another king. He was continuously using the devil to try to build him up buffer places. But I want to say we cannot use the devil as a buffer. What Ahab needed to do. He needed to put his faith and his trust in God. He needed to look up and say, you know what? The good God, the King of glory, he did all this. Amen. Glory be to God. Hey, I'm going to do and live just exactly like God said. I'm going to get rid of all the, I'm going to get all the influence of the world and the devil. I'm going to do away with it. I'm going to get it behind me. Praise God. I'm going to get on God's side and I'm going with the Lord. It would have made all the difference in his life. You say, well, preacher, why didn't he just do that? For the same reason we don't just do that. Amen. We try to hang on, dig and scratch and bargain with the devil. Amen. If we ain't careful, we bargain with the devil day after day after day instead of just putting it under the Lord's hand and say, you know what? God is God and let the devil be a liar. Amen. And praise God. Just get on the bandwagon for the Lord and say, you know what? The God on the mountain, glory be. Oh, Ahab, what he ought to have done. He said, the God that's on the mountain, praise God, the same God that I seen with Elijah up on the mountain when he slew the prophets of Baal, praise God, he's still God in the valley, praise God. When it seemed at all that we were at losing odds, praise God, that God Almighty is the God of the valley.
Amen.
Oh, I wonder what happened if old Ahab went home to Jezebel and said, honey, you ain't going to believe this. Said, that same God that slew those prophets of Baal, that same God delivered us, amen, from the Syrians. Glory be to God. He moved in, glory to God. Amen. We beat him on the mountain, glory to God. She said, well, it's easy to win when you're on the mountain. She said, well, yeah, glory be to God. When we got down there in the valley, it seemed all hope was lost. Glory be to God. God showed up. Odds of 13 to 1. Amen. So I done the math myself. His God gave the victory. See what happened? It would have changed Ahab's life forever. The same way it did. If we realize that God on the mountain is the God of the valley. Amen. When He's our God when we're on the mountain. And when He's our God when we're in the valley. Praise God. Glory be to God. We can shout and praise Him all the way to the house. Glory be to God. With joy in our soul radiating out. Praise God that the whole world can see so that everybody else can get just excited about it as we are. Amen. Well, I tell you, I don't know about you. I like these stories like this. They help my heart. Just see how big my God is. And He goes all through the Word. All through the Word just showing us time after time after time what kind of God He is. And that the devil is no match for our God.
Amen.